Hello everyone, a very warm welcome to another exciting episode of Psychology Talks. And today we're going to discuss a very important topic, as many people are suffering from depression, and sometimes when they have depression, they don't even know what exactly is going on with them, with themselves. Sometimes they take it as a normal sadness. Sometimes people think that people take it a very normal sadness as depression. So it's kind of a complex thing. Like, people don't know much about depression, yet many people are suffering from it. And one of the most important thing is that it's kind of a pandemic that's going on, that a lot of people are just going through it. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to seek the right information or whom to contact. So in this episode, we're going to discuss that, what are the ways you can actually figure out the right symptoms, that what is depression. And then we also discuss that what measures or steps you can take to prevent yourself from depression. And that's why I have invited one of the esteemed guests today. And it's a great honor to have Dr. R. Desher Mehran with us, who is just not a typical psychologist. He is a visionary trailblazer, and he's got the degree from Columbia University, and he has done a lot of impressive work in the field of mental health. He's been helping a lot of people to cope up with depression and other mental disorders. And he's also the author of one of the book, You Are Not Depressed, You Are Unfinished, and where he has given some groundbreaking theory, and he's introduced seven emotional bills that we are born with, and we're going to discuss about his book as well. So, and also I wanted to point out that he has an impressive career of 30 years, and in this particular book he has given all the researches that what are the ways where you can actually find out that what is depression and how you can actually reclaim your peace from depression. So without further ado, let's welcome Dr. R. Desher.
Thank you, Ambrain, and it's so great to be with you. And honestly, the night before, I couldn't sleep, so excited about this call. And I was looking at the list of folks who registered from across the globe, places that love to travel. So yeah. Thank you for inviting me to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's really an honor to have you with us today, and I was also looking forward to this particular discussion, because first of all, this area, like psychology and mental health, is very close to my heart, and mm-hmm. And I was just thinking that this particular topic really needs people need to hear about it. Because as I actually gave the introduction, that a lot of people are actually going through it, and they don't know what to do with it and how to actually cope with this. So I hope that with this particular episode, they will gain some information which can help them. So I actually gave a very, very short introduction. But tell our audience about yourself, that how you get into this field, why you've written this particular book, and why particular this topic.
great. Thank you. And why this topic? So some basic background. I'm a psychologist. I went to get my doctorate at Columbia University and triple major as a doctoral program, psychology, wow, organizational behaviors, and also research and statistics. I was good with data. And I have, actually it's embarrassing, I have four masters and, and a lot of degrees. It wasn't degrees that I was after. I was trying to answer questions. So I'm a corporate guy. I'm a psychologist who ended up in corporation. I remember that my first corporate training that I had, it was a philosophy of management, and it was principle of Peter Drucker about the American Management Foundation. There was a lesson in the course, day one, I remember that. And more or less the lesson is this to people in the business. But if you're trying to solve a business problem, you're trying to bring all your creativity, innovation, your product, your solution, and you're not getting the result, you need to stop. And instead of the solution you're delivering, probably you don't have a good handle on the problem. Go upstream, see if you have defined the problem, then go to your solution.
Yeah.
The way you described our session about depression is a pandemic. That's true. People in the field, they know both the patients and psychologists, healing depression takes a long time. That there are so many solutions about healing depression. But the fact is depression lingers like a bomb at the bottom of your shoe. So we need to ask, do we understand depression? And what I'm here to share with you that actually, no, we don't have a good understanding of depression. When I say we clinicians, and we have overcomplicated things. People are complex, are not complicated. And what I want to share with you are some basic foundation of me on investigating what depression is. Number two, why healing depression takes so long, and what is a better way to solve that. And I've been studying this for 30 years. And it's my own story, it's my own family. I was depressed, 7 psychologists, a psychiatrist, medication, all of that, only to find out my symptoms were improved, but depression would come back again. And I gave up on psychology. I said, you know what? I'm going to go figure this out myself. So what I'm here to share with you, some work around depression with the hope that it's helpful to you. If you're in treatment, taking medication and so on, do not make any changes based upon what I'm sharing with you, but all I invite you is just listen to me and you test it.
Yeah, that's great. Actually, I'm also reading your book and it's amazing. I'm like almost halfway through. It's very interesting.
Thank you.
And you've written your about your experience of depression,
yeah.
Which is actually,
yeah.
I think a lot of people do go through the sadness, yeah. And depression, but as I said also that they don't know what's happening to them. And
yeah.
Even when they actually consult a psychologist or therapist or maybe coach, it may satisfy them for that time period. But and again, you know, it does come back. The recurrence rate is really high. And I think that is one reason we have seen that a lot of people eventually commit suicide. And especially if you look at the figures, that those who commit suicide, the depression is one of the leading cause, which actually written. So, define then what exactly is depression? And
that's right.
How we can actually cope with it.
Great. Thank you. So several perspectives. Among, as you mentioned, mental health categories, there are categories like we have anxiety. We know how it feels, anxiety. We feel certain we are not settled. We like heart rate and your breathing. Then we have obsessive compulsive. You know, we have ADHD. We have PTSD.
Yeah.
We have schizophrenia, manic depressive. Depression is different. Depression at times, you don't even see it, as you said. Depression can be subtle. In high achievers, successful CEOs, entrepreneurs, founders, what we know from research that they have 2 to 3 times higher rate of depression than general population. And along the same way, higher rate of anxiety and suicide than general population. So here, the way depression currently is diagnosed by American Psychiatric Association, there's an instrument, I have it copied, you can get it from the website, it's called the PHQ, Patient Health Questionnaire, 9 questions, and ask about your level of interest, pleasure, feeling helpless, sleeping patterns, feeling exhaustion, appetite, feeling bad about yourself, and so on. The thing is, somebody can feel all of those, which in fact, professionals feel those emotions all the time because you work hard, you stay late, you pull all nighters, you travel. But that's not what depression is. Depression is a feeling of lost, mourning, and grieving. We've known this from the time of Greek philosophers. Depression is a deep sense of loss and mourning.
Yeah.
And when we feel depressed, we feel empty. We feel disconnected. We feel fragmented. There's an inner sense of loss we feel. So when I work with leaders, I don't ask them those questions anymore. I ask them, tell me about you and your life. And you learn that people use the term, someday I will do this. I wish I had better relationship. I wished I felt better about myself. I know I'm waiting for something. Another way you diagnose depression actually is to physical experiences. People who are depressed, women who are depressed, they have more gastrointestinal problems, diarrhea, constipation, stomach hurting or churning stomach. Men who are depressed, they have cardiovascular problems, the heart rate. And both of them, men and women, they have various ailments, shoulder hurting, shooting pain, back hurting, hips hurting. Those are emotions lodge in our bodies that we don't experience them, but our body's hurting. So knowing depression, if colleagues listening to us right now, is a sense of unease, waiting, and lingering happen. Number one. Number two, when depression exists, there are almost always anxiety at there too. Nobody, emotional experiences, they are never singular. They usually go in pack. People can be very anxious, but not depressed. What is anxiety? Anxiety is a sense of balance, predictability, and control. When we are depressed, almost always we are anxious. And there's a good chance there's an element of unhealed trauma. That's the reason unless you heal your trauma, depression cannot be addressed. Because what I mentioned, depression is a sense of unease, unfulfillment, and a sense of emptiness. The reason is we are feeling sense of something is lacking in our life. There are fulfillment missing. And we don't know what it is. Yeah. Nobody taught us that. So the work that I did, I learned working with many hundreds of people, that people are actually, they're seeking certain fulfillment that is predictable. Once they find it, you literally will see depression drops and dissipates over time.
Yeah. Yeah. Here you mentioned that, you know, this basically the fulfillment is missing in their life, and that could be the reason. So. Yeah. Like we've seen that a lot of successful people also, like, you know, suffer from severe depression, you know.
They have
like, we can see that they may be living a dream life for, like, in every aspect they have success, fame, money, whatever you can think of, yet they feel so depressed from inside, so empty from inside. So what think, like, why would they be feeling depressed?
Thank you. I want to respond to that. And also there was a comment below.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I saw a comment by Tony Robbins. Everybody knows what Tony Robbins is. And his comment was, and I'm going to post on this on LinkedIn tomorrow. His comment was, to have a good life, dear friend, you need to know the science of achievement and the art of fulfillment. And I said to myself, okay, he doesn't get it. Fulfillment, there's a science to that. Nobody taught us that. It's not an art. So I want to speak to that fulfillment has a very science information to that. There was a comment earlier on that mentioned about prejudice about depression.
Yeah.
When people come to me these days and they say, I'm depressed, this is literally what I tell them. Dear friend, if you're depressed, this is what it means. That there are human experiences that you did not get to have in life. They were not, you didn't experience them the extent to which you needed them. You didn't know you need them, or it was you were deprived of them. Depression is your own soul telling you you're in a different neighborhood. Your own soul inviting you to wake up. it's the clinical depression we label that, but depression literally is a wake-up call. We cannot medicate that. We cannot drink it away. We cannot ignore it. It will kill us. It will go away when we know that we are not living the life we need to have. Depression is your invitation to wake up. So fulfillment, there are seven emotional needs that in my book, and if you go on my website, everything is there for you to read and download. These needs are cradle to grave. They're literally biological. We are designed and a species to experience them. From a time we are born till the time our last breath. And those needs are quality of connection, the love we have, sense of I belong. That people, am I belonging? And I will come back to that sense of I belong. The next one is I'm boundless. That we are a one being with our entire body, our the human mind, body, spirit. Psychology has done a disservice to us by even calling mental health mental illness. There's nothing mental about it. We experience emotions in our bodies, not in our head. Yet nobody told us that the way we feel in our bodies means something. People who are familiar with the somatic psychology, the work of Peter Levine, the book of Body Keeps the Score, our experience is our entire body, in our nervous system. Memory happens at the cellular level, not in our brain. Yeah. That's the reason we have hormonal issues, gastrointestinal issues, muscular and skeleton issues. We experience the world in our entire being. Nobody taught us that. So part of the healing is that bring your body into the experience. The next need is sense of I'm complete. Many of us are consumed with shame and guilt and the yesterday's lifestyles. Nobody again taught us that in our being, there's no such thing as past. Body lives in the moment. Healings happen in the moment. So the way healing happens, in fact, is not helpful. Coming to discussion, coaching, or therapy, tell me what happened with your past, your mom, your dad, your teacher. The experience are important right now. The way we resolve them happen right now. So there's a way we can bring healing in the moment. So that's I'm complete. The other one is sense of matter. That we respond and need a fair amount of respect, dignity, honor, and inclusion. That's being a pack animal as we are. Yet for many people, like I work in a corporate environment, many people enter a conference room, nobody sees them. There's no eye contact. Nobody welcomes them. We are a creature of connection and having our place around the table. The next need is I make. We know from Gallup study year after year, up to 2/3 of American workers are dissatisfied, disengaged. When I worked in those environments and I studied them further, when you're disengaged in a work environment, you have up to 3 times higher rate of depression and anxiety because you're doing the work that is not your work. So the question is that, what is your work? Everybody's doing something is in this world. Is that your work? Are you doing what really is your work? If not, you're deferring your energy, your creativity, your gift of being. Another need is the sense of I am, your soul's voice. Everybody has it. Your conviction, your belief, the things that this is what I think. Your idea, my idea can be the stupidest idea, but it's your idea. Are you being heard? Are you projecting your belief and your conviction onto the world and claiming your space? Many people are voiceless, even in the corporate environment, that they just stay there and they're seeing life as a spectator. The final one is what I call I soar. There's a statement on the wall behind me, if you can see it, is by Maya Angelou. And it says, there's no greater agony than burying an untold story inside you.
Yeah.
8 billion people, 8 billion stories, we all have them. Are you living your story? Are you in touch with it? If not, you will feel squished and really soulless. Knowing your story awakens you and helps you claim yourself. So these needs, as I mentioned, there are ways they work right now in our bodies. They awaken you and they help to dissolve your depression. So when you're depressed, one or several of those needs are non-existent, non-fulfilled for you. Fulfill those and you literally will see depression dissipates and after a while goes away.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, really, it's mind-blowing the way you actually explain it. This is really, I mean, I have a lot of questions, actually. You started with this in the beginning that, you know, it is a wake-up call, yes?
That's
very true, that if we see, it's not just a medical condition, it's a call from our soul that is trying to say that, okay, you're just going in the wrong direction, we need to go in the right direction. So,
May I answer this? Yeah. There's something came up. Since this work I brought up, there was a comment about nursing home.
Yeah.
Somehow, in the Western world, at least, we bring all this information as if only teenagers or people in midlife that matters to them. Some of my recent clients, to my delight, are grandparents. People in 70s, 80s, they've read my book or they've seen my book on their daughter's coffee table, read that, and they wrote me directly, said, you know what? People are about to put me in nursing home, says, Mom, go there, wait till you die. I read your book and I realized I'm on fire. I want to live life again. So they contracted from their nursing home for retirement. I want to pay for you myself. Forget about the insurance company. I have a life in me. I want to find me that they help me find my eyesore experiences. So these knees literally, they are alive till our last breath at any time. So young and old, and in fact, we forget about older people. They are as energized to live a fuller life where they are as they are.
Yeah, absolutely. So how to actually find out these questions? I mean, we know that these are our souls, like, you know, these are the calling from our soul, but how to answer these calls?
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Great question. So let me provide two perspectives, and then I want to make it very specific. Follow the energy. Follow the energy. At this moment, the calls who listen, I want to invite everybody, take a deep breath. Just listen to my words. These needs, once you know them, they are right now like music playing inside you. You are just not tuned to them. They are inside you. There's one need, as I mentioned, those seven. You can see them in my website, those seven. Usually there's one need that excites you. You want it more. The moment I said and mentioned the need, your heart says, oh my gosh, yes. Yes, I want that. I want more of that. It makes me feel energized. I need that. I need it all the time. Listen to that. That's your mojo, that's your energy, that's your soul saying, yes, do that, make it a priority. That could be any of those needs, and I will come back to it, how it applied to me. Then there's a need, when I mentioned that, you said, oh no, I know this hurts. I know I've ignored that. That brings sorrow, that brings regrets, that brings sense of, ah, I wish it was different. That's your work right now. That's a good part of your depression is lingering right now because there's a work to be done versus feeling bad. Depression, healing depression is about restoration. Healing depression is about restoration that never got done for you. That's the work. Then there's a need that brings you stability like the foundation of the house that makes you feel strong, that makes you feel I know who I am, what I do. For example, right now for me, the need I soar, the work I do, helping people don't suffer, live your life and see depression become a sideshow, move away out of the way. They're meant to live a full life. Depression is really is the off-Broadway program, is not the main program. For me, it's about I soar, do my work, bring my message to the world. The part that gives me the angst that I'm literally building a new way of therapy, of healing, of coaching, I need to figure things out, you know, like social media, bring my message, you know, people need to know this. I'm a shy, quiet, recluse guy. And I'm, so yeah. These are not easy for me.
Yeah.
But I tell myself, Arish, you get over it. This is your work. There are smarter people than you. They will help you. So I'm figuring out that gives me angst. The part gives me stability, my wife, my son, my golden retriever, the friends that I have, the friends like you that say, hey, your work matters, you know, stay the course, do that. So everybody has a similar stories. Two dimensions that I'm working with many hundreds of people that I want you to pay attention to. Those are really foundational. Sense of I belong, sense of connection, human connection. Human connection, this is not... You can be in a room of people admiring you and be so isolated. There are people's spouses come to me and says, married 20, 30 years, you're having great passionate sex, but I'm lonely. This is about the deep loneliness. That's the work to do. Sense of connection, number one. Number two, the need of I am. There are many voiceless people. This is, I'm not talking about them not being heard. It's about telling what matters to you. What do you really feel inside, your conviction? I belong and I am. Those are super powerful people. They shake things up for you, awaken you, and everything just can fall into place.
Yeah, that's great. So I have another question. Like, you know, that's... these are the seven needs, and these are definitely these are the ones that everyone needs that. But do you think that only if one is answered, then one would be feeling more fulfilled? Or in order to have a really happy and fulfilled life, one needs to address all these seven?
They all need to be addressed in our lifetime in different order. So when in early life, and you're like, you know, I raised a son, he's graduating from college right now. The need of I belong and the need of I'm boundless. So I noticed that my son went to school here. In early life, we tell our children, sit there. Use your words, don't be fidgety, put your hand down, you know, tell us what you do, tell us what you think. Basically, what we were teaching our kid to deny their body feelings. Kids, when they express, they are like a bumblebee. Yeah. They're everywhere. We tell them, sit there and be still. When you're a corporation, we become a bunch of talking heads. Our way of life, especially in the Western world, we teach people to break themselves apart. Don't feel your body. That's the reason. So this is important information. Every day across the United States, at least, every day in primary, adult primary care, up to one third of visits are based upon depression. Up to one third. The reason is people don't even know how their body feels anymore. All they know, they feel bad. They feel sluggish. They feel empty. That's our upbringing. So when we raise kids, let them express themselves, use their body, help them channel that. And a lot of shame and guilt, I did that. I was raised like that. I did that to my son versus help people process the information. So different need at different times so people learn going forward. The like need I saw kicks in around 30. People go to life says, what am I doing? Where am I going? So it's important, all of us, just like the way you eat your food and you want to have certain nutrition at different times, all of these are important to be felt. But some of them at different times are felt different. For depression, I belong matters. Yeah. I'm boundless matters. People who are depressed, their bodies fragmented. is by their body's aching. Probably they have a lot of medications. And I belong, I'm boundless, and I'm complete. Those three are very important to fix. Once you do that, then you can go to the next level and next level.
Yeah, absolutely. The, especially the one that you said that I belong is, yeah. I've seen a lot of people find themselves misfit in the company, yes. like, you know, in the yes. team. As you also mentioned in the beginning that, you know, they may be in a circle of friends or people who may be admiring them, or maybe they think that they're good, but still they feel lonely or something. So I think one thing is very important. They need to surround themselves those with actually they can, which can actually give them positive vibes or which can help them grow. So that is one thing. But it will actually lead to another question, that how to find those kind of people, because
I love that.
In our society, in our culture, like maybe we are unable to find people who are like-minded, right? And we are forced to be in maybe in the family setup or in the in the work environment. So how do we find those kind of people where like I would say I belong, that need is satisfied.
That's right. Thank you so much. You use the term misfit. I love that term because I was a misfit. And I was a kid, there were six of us, I was a middle child, and I learned from early on that I was different, and it is in my book, than my brothers, sisters, that I was very curious. I was asking a lot of questions. I was very punished, ridiculed, shamed for the things I would say, I would see, and I learned I'm different. And in some way that being misfit helped me to crack the code of depression, because I learned we are fed a lot of so-called truth about the size of depression that actually it's not correct. It's somebody's best guess. Misfits, I love them. Those are the ones that make this world so colorful, so much better. So I struggled in classrooms, in college. I was a good student, but only certain professor liked me because I was a force of curiosity. I said, you're back again. More questions. So I went to corporate environment. I didn't fit in unless I fit in R&D role, new product development, new research, new strategy. When it was day-to-day project management, business management, I was terrible. I was getting bored. Yeah. So I learned that I have high needs to learn, to be challenged. Like if I can digress, right now in San Francisco, it's raining a lot and I'm studying rain. What is rain and so on? So, so in some way, misfits, there are people like you. Find your crowd. So people who know me in social media, LinkedIn, more or less, I created my own crowd that they are like-minded people who are curious about life. That if you're misfit, honor your uniqueness. And know there are many people like you. Find them and you will find your community. There are always community for people just like you. I was a misfit and I'm not, but I found my crowd.
Yeah, I think that's the right way, you know, your vibes actually attract your tribe. So yeah,
that's right.
So you just keep sharing, you just keep asking and don't be embarrassed to be yourself. So I think that's the best way. So, okay, now coming to the last part, I would say, what coping strategies would you suggest that, you know, we know these are the things that, especially if we talk about, I would just say that a lot of people actually live in past and those regrets actually haunt them. And that could be the reason that they are depressed. And that is the main reason that they are not able to move forward. So how to actually just overcome that regret and move forward?
Beautiful. Thank you. Great question. So when you're depressed, there's also almost always element of anxiety going on, which means you feel restless. You cannot settle, and you just feel that you are not well and you don't quite know what's going on. The way to do that, and it's in my book, and then I've shared it. I know it's online, or write me, I will send it to you. You need to settle your nervous system. There are, when we are unsettled, comes down to three things. We need to be in a state of presence, means like feeling your body, five senses, smell, touch, like, you know, hear a cup of coffee, somehow come to your five senses, sense of connection to nature. I have a golden retriever, to my dog, to my family, that you're not isolated, and a sense of agency, that you have control. Control can be, I pick up this pen from here, put it here, that you have some decision-making. When we are in that state of restlessness, we just feel we are going to free fall. You need to come and arrive in this moment, that you are in this very moment. That, and this very moment, really, I mean this moment, there are things you can do to change, and it needs to be something tiny, action. Where do I start, Ardeshir say? Follow the energy. Go to the seven needs. You don't need to overcomplicate it. You don't need any fancy survey, a lot of rating scale. Just look at those seven needs. You can get it from my website. Look at the short sentences and see which one speaks to you. What does it mean to speak to you? You read that, say, oh my gosh, I feel it. That's me. That's the work. Healing happens by doing something in here and now. You don't need any complicated analysis here and now. Look at that need. In this moment, you're in the state of presence, connection, agency. What is one tiny action, that is joy-based? Like, I want to do this versus I'm not going to do that. Joy-based, he can do right now. When we're in the state of restlessness, our body doesn't know positive actions to do going forward. All we need to do is teach our body tiny action that our body says, that was good. I like that. I want to do that again. Then you will do another one. Here's a fact about behavioral change. If we don't have body memory of something positive, we cannot do it. We can do all the analysis in our brain, prioritization, this and that. We need to experience something positive in the direction we want. That's how body memory happens. Felt good. I want to do that again. Now I'm going to do tiny more. So again, to cap it, bring your body to present right now. Something positive aligned with your emotional needs makes sense to you right now. Do something positive, take a deep breath, do another thing. That's how the chain reaction starts. And let me say this, that the people who work on with me, they know this. I do not believe in open-ended therapy. Once you do this kind of work, between 5, 10, maximum 15 sessions, people get significant amount of lift, and you can bring yourself home.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know we can actually go on and on about this topic, and this is one of the very important topic actually, but the time of the show is actually limited, and we're almost reaching to the end. So before we actually close this show, what one advice would you give to our audience today to overcome their depression?
That's right. So I want to paraphrase what you just mentioned, overcome depression. That's how clinicians like me have told generations of people, depression is an illness. You need, even their books, Fight Your Depression, 10 Steps to Crush Your Depression. Don't waste your time. That's not how it works. Depression is about coming home. Depression is your wake-up call of saying that you're off track. That depression is your soul begging you to wake up in you. All you have to do, listen to your own soul is speaking to you. Depression He's telling you there's a bigness, greatness inside you. There's unfinishedness. So know the message. Where up would start, find one need, can be any of them, that feels good inside you. Connect and do something about that. You just stop doing something in the moment of a need that connects you, awakens you, steers you. Start there and you'll be good.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I love that advice. And what I just, what I understood is like, it's basically connect with your soul and then find out what exactly, and listen to it, that what is telling you. So I think that's the wonderful thing, because
that's right.
I think the main dilemma of the current time is that we are going much farther away from our soul, and that's why we try. Our soul is constantly trying to call us back, but we're just not listening to it, and we just that is the reason why we, a lot of people see, are suffering from like say, depression or the mental health. All the different mental health problems. So
that's right. That's coming home. That this is, I tell people, we are designed for wellness. It's already inside us that we've, I tell people, and I know, I'm sorry if psychology is going to call, psychology should not be trusted to psychologists. We overcomplicate things. Yeah. Humans are very elemental. Know the design of human being. When we're off track, reverse engineer. You're that elemental.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that complicated. It's complex, not complicated.
Yeah. And if we try to reach it as in a simple way, I think that is the best way. But it's not easy. I know.
Because I'm sorry, I keep interrupting this topic. I'm so excited. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I understand.
Let me zip up. No, please finish your thought.
That's exactly my thought was actually, and I forgot what you were saying. But basically, that all these mental disorders are basically just popped up just because we are soulless. And these technologies and these AI coming up, it's creating more this distance with the soul and ourselves. So
that's right. Absolutely. There's some elemental nature to healing. I mean, in fact, I read it on top of all the psychology and diagnose it. It scares me how many layers of multidimensional diagnosis my colleagues coming up with. And the truth is, they are not helpful. They are not helpful.
Yeah, that's true. So anyways, thank you so much for sharing such an amazing discussion. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
So anybody wants to get in touch with Dr. Ardashir, what is your... Oh, yes, please.
Here it is. Here's my book. It's available, became Amazon bestseller. Please, it's there for you. And all of this available on my website. There are multiple YouTube videos describing if this work. I'm an open source. Ask questions, go there, download, follow me on social media. My work till my last breath is the world needs to know this. Healing, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it amongst ourselves, in families, in schools, you know, in workplaces, you know, let's bring healing from the subcontracting to psychologist's office to our midst. We heal together. Nobody heals by themselves.
Yeah,
we heal together. Absolutely. We heal when they're connected. We heal each other.
Absolutely. So I've shared your link, like LinkedIn and your website. And of course, I'll share the link of your book. And your book is amazing. I'm really enjoying it. I'm almost halfway through. And as soon as I'll finish, I'll also write a review for your book as well. It's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Whoever wants to actually read how to overcome a depression, I would say, or to deal with the depression, it's a must-read book. And please get your copy from Amazon. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom with us. It was an enlightening session. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you, Amreen. And thank you to all the listeners. And let's heal.
Thank, Yeah, thank you to Lydia and Doreen and Lonika. So whoever like were posting comments, and thanks for sharing all these like, you know, comments which make the session more lively. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you.